Today is the 20th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Same as I've been every day for the last 20 years. 20th day of August for the 20th time. I'm grateful. Grateful to be here with you today as we take this step. The step we've taken 20 times. The conclusion of the book of Esther. One of the most dramatic books in the Bible. And we've experienced quite the drama in it. So there's this man Haman who wants to annihilate the Jews. What he doesn't know is that the queen is a Jewess. So that gets all pretty entangled and Haman ends up losing his life. But before all that happens, an edict, a law, was enacted to annihilate the Jews on a specific day. And that law cannot be repealed. And so, what's going to happen as we come to the conclusion of the book of Esther? Let's find out. Esther, chapters 8. 9 and 10. On that same day, King Ahasuerus gave the estate of Haman, that adversary of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Now Mordecai had come before the king, for Esther had revealed how he was related to her. The king then removed his signet ring, the very one he had taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther designated Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's estate. Then Esther again spoke with the king, falling at his feet. She wept and begged him for mercy, that he might nullify the evil of Haman the Agagite and the plot that he had intended against the Jews. When the king extended to Esther the gold scepter, she arose and stood before the king. She said, "If the king is so inclined, and if I have met with his approval, and if the matter is agreeable to the king, and if I am attractive to him, let an edict be written rescinding those recorded intentions of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote in order to destroy the Jews who are throughout all the king's provinces. For how can I watch the calamity that will befall my people? And how can I watch the destruction of my relatives?" King Ahasuerus replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Look, I have already given Haman's estate to Esther, and he has been hanged on the gallows because he took hostile action against the Jews. Now write in the king's name whatever in your opinion is appropriate concerning the Jews, and seal it with the king's signet ring. Any decree that is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring cannot be rescinded." The king's scribes were quickly summoned in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. They wrote out everything that Mordecai instructed to the Jews and to the satraps and the governors and the officials of the provinces all the way from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to each province in its own script and to each people in their own language, and to the Jews according to their own script and their own language. Mordecai wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring. He then sent letters by couriers who rode royal horses that were very swift. The king thereby allowed the Jews who were in every city to assemble and to stand up for themselves, to destroy, to kill and to annihilate any army of whatever people or province that should become their adversaries, including their women and children, and to confiscate their property. This was to take place on a certain day throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely, on the 13th day of the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar. A copy of the edict was to be presented as law throughout each and every province and made known to all peoples, so that the Jews might be prepared on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who were riding the royal horses went forth with the king's edict without delay, and the law was presented in Susa, the citadel, as well. Now Mordecai went out from the king's presence in blue and white royal attire, with a large golden crown and a purple linen mantle. The city of Susa shouted with joy, for the Jews there was radiant happiness and joyous honor. Throughout every province and throughout every city where the king's edict and his law arrived, the Jews experienced happiness and joy, banquets and holidays. Many of the resident peoples pretended to be Jews, because the fear of the Jews had overcome them. In the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar, on its 13th day, the edict of the king and his law were to be executed. It was on this day that the enemies of the Jews had supposed that they would gain power over them. But contrary to expectations, the Jews gained power over their enemies. The Jews assembled themselves in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to strike out against those who were seeking their harm. No one was able to stand before them, for dread of them fell on all the peoples. All the officials of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who performed the king's business were assisting the Jews, for the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. Mordecai was of high rank in the king's palace, and word about him was spreading throughout all the provinces. His influence continued to become greater and greater. The Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, bringing death and destruction, and they did as they pleased with their enemies. In Susa, the citadel, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. In addition, they also killed Parshandata, Dalphon, Aspatha, Parata, Adalia, Aradatha, Parmashta, Arasai, Aradai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews. But they did not confiscate their property. On that same day, the number of those killed in Susa, the citadel, was brought to the king's attention. Then the king said to Queen Esther, "In Susa, the citadel, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? What is your request? It shall be given to you. What other petition do you have? It shall be done." Esther replied, "If the king is so inclined, let the Jews who are in Susa be permitted to act tomorrow also according to today's law, and let them hang the 10 sons of Haman on the gallows." So the king issued orders for this to be done. A law was passed in Susa, and the 10 sons of Haman were hanged. The Jews who were in Susa then assembled on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and they killed 300 men in Susa. But they did not confiscate their property. The rest of the Jews who were throughout the provinces of the king assembled in order to stand up for themselves and to have rest from their enemies. They killed 75,000 of their adversaries, but they did not confiscate their property. All this happened on the 13th day of the month of Adar. They then rested on the 14th day and made it a day for banqueting and happiness. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and 14th days and rested on the 15th, making it a day for banqueting and happiness. This is why the Jews who are in the rural country, those who live in rural villages, set aside the 14th day of the month of Adar for happiness, banqueting, and a holiday, and sending gifts to one another. Mordecai wrote these matters down and sent letters to all the Jews who were throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to have them observe the 14th and the 15th days of the month of Adar each year, as the time when the Jews gave themselves rest from their enemies, the month when their trouble was turned to happiness, and their mourning to a holiday. These were to be days of banqueting, happiness, sending gifts to one another, and providing for the poor. So the Jews committed themselves to continuing what they had begun to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised plans against the Jews to destroy them. He had cast Pur, that is, the lot, in order to afflict and destroy them. But when the matter came to the king's attention, the king gave written orders that Haman's evil intentions that he had devised against the Jews should fall on his own head. He and his sons were hanged on the gallows. For this reason, these days are known as Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of the account found in this letter and what they had faced in this regard and what had happened to them, the Jews established as binding on themselves, their descendants, and all who joined their company that they should observe these 2 days without fail, just as written and at the appropriate time on an annual basis. These days were to be remembered and to be celebrated in every generation and in every family, every province and every city. The Jews were not to fail to observe these days of Purim. The remembrance of them was not to cease among their descendants. So, Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of the empire of Ahasuerus. Words of true peace, to establish these days of Purim in their proper times, just as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had established, and just as they had established both for themselves and their descendants, matters pertaining to fasting and lamentation. Esther's command established these matters of Purim, and the matter was officially recorded. King Ahasuerus then imposed forced labor on the land and on the coastlands of the sea. Now all the actions carried out under his authority and his great achievements, along with an exact statement concerning the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king promoted, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus. He was the highest ranking Jew, and he was admired by his numerous relatives. He worked enthusiastically for the good of his people and was an advocate for the welfare of all his descendants. First Corinthians 12, 27 through 13. Now, you are Christ's body, and each of you is a member of it. And God has placed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helps, gifts of leadership, different kinds of tongues. Not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? Not all perform miracles, do they? Not all have gifts of healing, do they? Not all speak in tongues, do they? Not all interpret, do they? But you should be eager for the greater gifts. And now I will show you a way that is beyond comparison. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I receive no benefits. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious. Love does not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But if there are prophecies, they will be set aside. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be set aside. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when what is perfect comes, the partial will be set aside. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I set aside childish ways. For now we see in a mirror indirectly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Psalm 37, 1 through 11, by David. Do not fret when wicked men seem to succeed. Do not envy evildoers, for they will quickly dry up like grass and wither away like plants. Trust in the Lord and do what is right. Settle in the land and maintain your integrity. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and He will answer your prayers. Commit your future to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act on your behalf. He will vindicate you in broad daylight and publicly defend your just cause. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait confidently for Him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not be angry and frustrated. Do not fret. That only leads to trouble. Wicked men will be wiped out, but those who rely on the Lord are the ones who will possess the land. Evil men will soon disappear. You will stare at the spot where they once were, but they will be gone. But the oppressed will possess the land and enjoy great prosperity. Proverbs 21, 23 and 24. The one who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his life from troubles. A proud and arrogant person, whose name is Scoffer, acts with overbearing pride. Okay, so we conclude the book of Esther. One of my favorites to read. It's just so dramatic. I love that story. We conclude it, and Mordecai has become the most influential voice in the king's life. A person who was marked for death is now the most influential, and the Jewish people are rescued from absolute genocide. In fact, instead of being annihilated, the Hebrew people are given permission to kind of congregate and band together and defend themselves, which results in the destruction of their enemies. So it is a fantastic story of a time of exile when the Persian Empire had taken over and defeated the Babylonian Empire, and favor was returning to the Jews. And we read of the Jews going back to Jerusalem during the times of the kings of the Persian Empire and rebuilding. We've read that in Ezra and Nehemiah and so many other places. And so we have some context here. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. I will say Esther is interesting. There are books that are included in many Christian faith traditions and were included in many different like printings of the Bible, including the King James Version originally. And these books are called the Apocrypha. And they're ancient writings, contemporary with some of the biblical writings, especially the intertestamental time, like between the Old and the New Testaments. And generally speaking, like if you're in a Protestant context, these are revered writings that are there for, you know, edification and knowledge and history. And other traditions, that they're considered scripture and are used accordingly. Whereas in maybe a more Protestant persuasion, they would not be considered for establishing doctrine. Nevertheless, they are very ancient, very preserved, very valuable. And one of those writings is called Additions to Esther. And they kind of have an interesting story. So the original Hebrew, it's called the Masoretic text, the original Hebrew text that most Bibles refer to as they're making translations, do not have certain portions of Esther. They have exactly what we just read. The Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Bible, has the book of Esther as well as all the other books of the Bible, but it has more text. There is more going on in that story. Thus, it's called the Additions to Esther, and they likely were composed in Greek. So the story is expanded a little bit. Probably the most notably are prayers. So if we remember, because we just read this story, Esther has to go before the king and risk her life. And Mordecai is telling Esther, like, you may have been born for such a time as this. And so she asks that everybody pray and fast for 3 days. And so many of those kinds of prayers are found in the Additions to Esther. So if you like the story of Esther, you may want to just check that out and kind of flesh out the story just a little bit more. The additions to Esther are something that I've read a long time ago, and they can be found in the Daily Audio Bible shop, but they're widely available. And so you may want to take it just a little bit further and just consider the story from that perspective. We also had some really, really important things like we cannot skip over that happened today in the New Testament. So yesterday in 1 Corinthians, Paul is discussing spiritual giftings, and he shares how everybody is uniquely gifted, and that when we come together and bring these parts together, then the gifts serve the whole. And he likens that to the way a human body is put together. A body is made up of many parts. Some of them are seen, some of them are unseen. But in a human body, all the different parts of the body are needed to make up the whole. And Paul says that's how it is in the body of Christ. We're each a part, uniquely gifted, uniquely placed to make up the whole, which gives us an incredible amount of freedom because we are who we are and we are who we're supposed to be. We have the permission to be exactly who we were created to be, not as compared to anybody else at all. And what a relief if we could like actually wrap our minds around that. Then we're not in competition to be seen or to be superior. That's a waste of energy and a waste of time. We are who we are, and we should be exactly that, because we are an irreplaceable part of a whole, of a greater whole. And if we are who we are, then we are assisting the body to thrive instead of being like cancer, right? And attacking other parts of the body, which is what cancer does. So this idea of comparison gets undermined. And man, that flies in the face of our culture, because we get our identity by comparing how well we're doing against someone else's curated story, when we are supposed to be exactly who we are. So today, Paul is discussing different kinds of like offices or positions that would be filled out with these giftings. He names apostles and prophets and teachers and those who can work miracles and those who have a gift of healing, those who are administrative or helpers, those with leadership gifts, those who can speak in unknown languages. Paul basically asks, so can everybody be all of these things? And the answer is no. But all of these things come from one source. They come from the Spirit of God, and they all pull together to make a body. And there's one force that animates all of it. Love. That brings us to one of the most famous, profound pieces of scripture in the entire Bible. It's known as the love chapter. And Paul begins by saying, let me show you a better way. Let me show you a way of life that's the best of all. And then he moves in to the love chapter, revealing that no matter how gifted you are, without love, it is nothing. Love is what enables the gifts to work and be used properly. Not using our giftings to be superior or to gain attention. Love is what makes them work. It's what empowers us to live into our giftings, because they are given to us to serve the greater whole. It's what holds the body of Christ together. Jesus even refers to this. He says, your love, right? Your love for each other is what will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So Paul reveals these characteristics that have to be permeating everything in order for us to be fully empowered to use the giftings that we've been given in this world. Love is patience, and it's kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It doesn't demand. Right? It's not domineering or demanding. It's not irritable. It's not vengeful. It doesn't keep a record of how it's wronged. It doesn't see injustice and think good about it. It rejoices when the truth is what wins. It doesn't give up. It perseveres. It endures. It doesn't lose faith. It always hopes. It never fails. It's Paul saying all this giftedness, everything that you have is partial. Everything is incomplete. One day it won't mean anything. Everything will be useless. It works the same way that when we grow up, we put away childish things and mature into adulthood. It's not our gifts that represent our standing in this world or in this body. It is our love. Our gifting is just a place to display our love. But our love is what pulls it together. And then there's these famous words, three things. These three things will remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If that's true, the greatest thing is love, then may we focus our energy there. Faith, hope, and love. They animate all of our gifts and our very lives, and they will remain when everything else fades away. So, Heavenly Father, we invite you into that. Holy Spirit, come. It's not as if we haven't heard this our whole lives. It's not as if we don't know this, but it's not as if we're doing it either. It's not as if this is our lifestyle. It's more like this ideal, when it's not really meant to be an ideal. It's meant to be a way of life. It is actually what gives us value to our giftings. Not comparison, not domination, not defeating someone or something. Love. What would that look like in our lives if things shifted? If we became counter-culture and it was love that was the way of things for us, the freedom would be overwhelming. Holy Spirit, show us how to love. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base, and that is the app. So check it out. Get connected. Be connected. A couple of things we've been that are kind of going on around here right now as we continue our 20th year together every single day around the Global Campfire. A new song was released. I think we've probably, well, if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, then you're pretty aware. It's Jill and my first duet ever. As much music as we made in the past. It's called Blessed Be the Name. It is straight from the book of Job, which we are straight away about to enter into. And so just kind of in preparation for that, putting our heart in the right place as we move into some different kind of territory in the scripture, as we engage in some wisdom literature and start to wrestle. The Bible is about to take us into suffering and pain, especially emotional, like especially into trauma. And we will see that very clearly in Job's life and watch the Bible give language to it and watch all of the advice that falls flat and just wrestle with the idea of why do these things happen, and especially why do they happen for no reason. So in preparation for that, we recorded this song. And you can find that anywhere. Anywhere you stream music, anywhere you buy music. Blessed Be the Name. Look for Blessed Be the Name and Brian and Jill Harden. And you'll find it. So I hope you'll put that on your playlist. Keep it kind of in rotation as we move through this territory. Share it. Listen to it. Let us know. Let us know what you think. The other thing is we've released, it's kind of like a completely different thing than Job. We've released a brand new coffee flavor in honor of our 20th year of being together around the Daily Audio Bible. And so we really, really worked hard to get this right. And it's called Southern Pecan. Wind Farm is our coffee brand. Southern Pecan, 20th Anniversary Reserve. That is available now in the Daily Audio Bible shop. And what a reception it is. I wasn't kidding you, right? Those of you who have like opened up a bag of that and took a good whiff of the aroma that comes from that bag and then made a cup of coffee and just enjoyed it. I wasn't kidding you, right? I saw a post, gosh, I don't remember where. Somebody had their clean canteen and a bag of coffee and they were like, believe the hype, it's really that good. And I think so. I think so too. I agree with you. I have some as my companion right now, every day, just here to my right in my own clean canteen. And so I'm enjoying it as well. You can get it as long as we have it at the Daily Audio Bible Shop, either on the web at the website or using the app. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. It's Heather from Tennessee. It's August 14th, and I've just finished listening to the daily reading, and it was wonderful, of course. The prayers afterwards and yesterday are just so moving. I want to lift up prayer for Carlos. He's in prison and he's going to be getting out soon. His family is praying for him that he will kick this addiction. And Lord, we know that you can do it. We know, Lord, that you want to fill him with your being, Lord. We know that he doesn't need those things, that he needs you, Lord. And we just pray for his family, that you will keep them strong, help them to find encouragement for him. I pray, Lord, that he just knows you. I do. I pray that. I want also lift up prayer for Mickey. He's going into a needle biopsy, I think. He has a couple brain tumors, maybe, and his wife called in, and she loves him so much. And I'm just, oh, Lord, just make those tumors go away. Allow it to just be something simple. Lord, we just pray for that situation, that you will guide the medical staff. Also want to pray for that person who called in about feeling okay, having a praise about death, that death is hard, and I struggle with loss quite a bit. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us peace and encouragement. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, family. Kathy from Western New York here, calling to ask for prayer for a dear friend of ours. In fact, he was best man at our wedding 33 years ago. His name is Pastor Greg. He hadn't been feeling well in the spring, and tests revealed that he has a very rare and aggressive form of marrow cancer. So he's taken about the last month to clean up his affairs, and he is going to Cleveland Clinic. They told him he will be under intensive treatment for 2 months. He will be in rehab for 4 months as they clean out his system and do an aggressive therapy. He's 62. His wife, Michelle, is just distraught, understandably, and his college-age daughter, Eliana. To top that, they suffered a fire in their garage and destroyed cars, tractor. They raise horses, and so equipment to care for the horses. All of this happening at once, and it's just been such a challenge. So I ask you to please pray for Pastor Greg, his wife Michelle, their daughter Eliana, and all of the family, in-laws, brothers, sisters, who are just devastated to hear this news. Thank you, family. Your prayers are amazing, and this community is amazing. You are loved. You are love. Thank you, Harden family, for making this all possible. Be blessed, everybody.
Hello, dear B family. It's Jax in Canada. Another week praying for businesses owned and run by DAB members. Kay from Ohio, you called in August 3rd in response to my prayers, and you prayed the most beautiful, impactful prayer. Thank you so much, my sister, for hearing the prayers, for praying alongside us, and for calling in to pray. That really encouraged me, and I know it has encouraged everybody who owns and runs a business. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the advice in the prayer. You had so many wonderful things to say in there. I listened to your prayer multiple times, and I know that I will go back to it again and again. So thank you for your advice in it. Thank you for reminding us to thank God beforehand, to be open for all the answers, even the small ones, and to keep going. So that's what we'll do, and I will continue to thank you for now and forever. If you're running on a business, go back to August 3rd and listen to Kay of Ohio's prayer for us. It was really, really really nice prayer. God, I thank you for Kay. I thank you for everybody in the DAB family who is praying for us who run businesses. Even those who don't own businesses, they have family members and friends and even acquaintances that they don't know that run businesses, and it impacts all of us because small businesses carry most of the economy. So thank you that the family here is praying for us and willing and interceding for us in everything that we're praying for. It is the summer. It's supposed to be good for businesses, but it's not looking that way right now. But God, I know you're going to provide because you always hear and answer our prayers. And I thank you beforehand for all of that. I thank all my brothers and sisters here who are praying with us as well. Amen.
Hi, DAB family. I hope all is well. This is Melissa calling from Houston. I just wanted to say that I love you all. Thank you to Brian and Jill and the whole entire Harden family and the DAB team for all that you do to make everything happen every day by the grace of God. So I just wanted to call and ask for prayer. My friend Thomas is having surgery on Wednesday for hernia, and I just wanted to cover his surgery and the surgeons and the staff at the hospital and everyone in prayer in advance. And I would like to pray for anyone else who is going through any health issues, anyone who is in need of surgeries, or who has been battling any chronic or acute illnesses. I want you to know that I'm praying for you and that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and just pray for health and healing and strength for us all. I love you and I thank you. In your mighty name I pray, amen.
Hi, this is Tammy calling from the Central Coast of California. Today is August 15th, and I was just listening to the Daily Audio Bible this morning, and at the end of the podcast, I heard my call and my request for prayer, and I wanted to thank you for praying, and I also wanted to give a praise report. I am feeling better. I started back and eating clean. I just getting out and getting some exercise and just remembering that it's okay to ask for prayer, and it is also okay to not embrace the depression. Depression is not my friend, and I don't need to snuggle up with it like it's a lovely little blanket. I did that for many years, and was in and out of the hospital with some suicidal tendencies, and just how my family and my children suffered because of that. And so it's good to remember the tools that we've been given to overcome, like I said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And so I just want to thank you, family, for your prayers. I wanted to thank you, Brian and Jill, for your testimony that really came at a good time for me to contemplate and remember where I have come from in my journey. So thank you, family. God bless you. Make it a great day.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon. And I actually have a couple of prayer requests. My first one is that I'm running, as part of a 12-person team, a relay race called the Hood to Coast, and it's next Friday and Saturday. And so I was just hoping to get some prayers, support, or just to just physically for our team and spiritually for our team. There are some other believers who will be in my van with me, so just that we'd be open to the Holy Spirit's leading for potential conversations and in our words and in our actions. I also am looking for prayer as I am working with a doctor as far as hormone replacement therapy. I'm 54, and so menopause is real, and anyway, just trying to work through actually weaning myself back off of that and just the wisdom. And again, I'm under a doctor's care, so I'm getting good advice and all that good stuff. It's just, you know, there's no one size fits all, and it just really, really can wreak havoc on emotions and disposition and anxiety and all these wonderful things that we women get to experience. So anyway, if you'd be willing to pray for those two things, I would really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much, all. Bye.